Welcome back to Up to the Minors. I'm your host, Connor Ramson, and with me, as always, he is the Leafs winning in the first round. To my, the Leafs won in the first round. It is DJ Rust, everybody.
Yes!
We did it, baby.
I did it. Nobody else. I did it.
Now, I just want to point this out because I only just remembered it a couple minutes ago when we were talking about this, but our official podcast pick for the first round, Leafs in six.
Which I don't think anybody else had. I'm gonna be frank with you.
The only people who were correct.
The first and only people to guess that correctly.
Listen, I just want to say that anybody else who claims that they made that pick correctly is lying and can't prove it.
Well, and also when it went to game six, everybody was shitting their pants. So don't even, like, it's yeah. not like
including us.
But we were all scared to death. I think I had collectively 12 heart attacks during game six.
Yeah, game six was an absolute nightmare. Okay, so let's talk about this series, because
we can back up. Yes,
I'm really excited. Game one, whoa, that was bad. It was a complete disaster.
Well, game one,
they sucked so bad.
Game one, I think every Leafs fan went, it's over.
I think the only positive that you could take from it was actually just remembering the previous series with Tampa Bay, where we had won game one 5-0.
Well,
and so that was the only thing that I had that was positive that I could say after we lost that game.
But a lot of people brought that up, and a lot of people said, oh, it's one game, and it's happens when a team can get blown out in game one. It happens more often than you think.
And the Leafs were right back in it when Michael Bunting's brain exploded. And then immediately after that, Eric Chernak's brain exploded.
Literally. <So. laughs> Well, it was 3-2.
Yes.
And you get this feeling of maybe, because when it's 3-0, I was at a bar that night.
Yeah.
Everybody's sad.
Yeah.
It's not a good vibe anymore. It depends who you're with. I had some good friends, so you're chatting because there's not much else to do because the game feels like it's over.
Yeah.
It feels like it's slipped away.
And you don't want to let it ruin your whole night. You know?
No.
It's game one. That's for game seven.
Yeah, for real. Which we thank God didn't happen.
Honestly.
I don't know what that is because it didn't happen.
Never.
But you were so bummed out. And you were looking at the faces in the stands, on the TV, and in the bar, and you're just like, this sucks. And yes, it's one game. And yes, it was, 3-0 at that time. You're like, I don't think we can recover from this. It was such a shot in the dick that you don't see a way out of it, and you don't think that it's going to get better with game two, and you don't think it's going to get better in game three or four or five or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. You just don't – that's what I felt.
I thought they were playing pretty bad.
You might have been more up.
I thought Samsonov especially was not playing very well, which is kind of interesting given the way that the rest of his series went, because he really got his shit together. I thought he looked very bad in that game one. And then when they made the little comeback to 3-2, I actually thought the Leafs were going to probably win that game. Until
really?
Everything that happened, because just the way, like, how easily they had made up for Tampa being better than them for like half an hour by playing well for like 5 minutes, I was like, okay, this is going nicely. The Leafs have like completely turned this around in the second period. Here we go, and then probably one of the more significant things that happened in the entire series happened, which is Michael Bunting elbowing Eric Chernak in the head and giving away a 5-minute power play that they then scored two goals on to make it 5-2 and end the hockey game. Giving Michael Bunting a 3-game suspension, which we'll have to talk about, and also putting Eric Chernak out for the entire series, which definitely mattered kind of a lot.
That is huge.
It was massive.
I understand everybody when it happened was very upset with Michael Bunting.
Yes.
And how could you not be? We all were.
Very stupid.
It's very stupid. But and injury, like, do you remember when Braden Point got hurt last year in game seven?
Yes.
And you know, you're watching it and a little part of you is like, ah, shit, like that really sucks.
Yeah.
Because you want to beat this team clean, 100%.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter. Like, you want every player to be in the lineup. And when I heard that Cernak wasn't going to play anymore, I threw a party. Because I felt that way last year because yeah. I had so much hope for that team.
Yeah.
And this year I thought, thank God. You know what? You don't want to see anybody be hurt. You don't want to see injury. It's never good. You don't wish anybody to be injured. But if it happens to happen, and hey, I'm not Michael Bunting. I didn't hit him in the head.
It's very true.
So I'm allowed to be like, oh, damn, like that sucks, but great.
Yep. I don't remember a whole lot of people feeling bad for us when John Tavares got kneed in the face.
Thank you. Yes.
I remember a lot of people making jokes about it and finding it hilarious that we lost.
It's a better way to put it.
Though, I don't know. It is what it is. Michael Bunting getting 3 games, though. Crazy. That's
a lot.
Because Jordan Eberle just hit a dude from behind and literally broke his neck.
Broke his neck. Nothing.
And didn't get suspended.
Cale Makar, 1 game for... Not even the play was a much worse hit.
Yeah,
it felt like much worse, and it felt like he like slammed him. Like it wasn't like he like hit him and that was it. It's like he hit him and then threw him to the ground.
Yeah,
which I'm like, how is that not worse? But yeah. Whatever. It's, you know, everybody hates Michael Bunting, but
yeah, and like honestly, I don't actually feel bad for Michael Bunting getting suspended for 3 games. Like he actually deserved 3 games. He elbowed a dude in the head who didn't come back and play hockey again. He did it for no reason, and he totally deserved 3 games. I would like other people to get suspended like that.
It is so interesting. Because
I'm glad he got suspended for like that.
I remember being in the bar, and everybody's like, you know, you get the couple bros at a bar downtown that are like, no, that's clean. And then I watch the replay, and even 2 of the guys I was sitting with were like, what happened? That's nothing, man. And then we watched the replay and I looked at them both and I go, dude, he hit him in the head.
Yep.
And not like this. He went like this.
Oh yeah. His elbow went way up. He elbowed him right in the face.
I was like, what are you talking about? I get we're upset because it's 3-2 and we think we have a chance here.
Yeah.
But we are at that point. I was already like, dude, we were down 3-0. We're lucky to be at 3-2. We're lucky to be at 3-2. And what I called on the podcast before the playoffs started,
yes,
is exactly what happened. So to me, it wasn't surprising.
No, it wasn't at all. All right. Let's move on to game 2. So game 2, they completely destroy the Lightning. I think one of the big parts of this series that matters for the rest of it is that this was the first game that Matthew Knies got into the lineup.
Yep.
And he looked amazing, like immediately. He looked great right away and never left the lineup and probably never will.
Don't think he should. No.
I think he's going to be in the lineup forever now.
He took a penalty. Which a lot of people were on him about right away. But, I mean, you're young, you're a kid, it's the playoffs. And I watched that play. He was in front of the net, battling it out, and he just slapped the stick out of somebody's hand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, it's wrong, but you were in your head, he's probably like, the guy's holding onto his stick a little tighter.
Yeah. The John Tavares hat trick, very cool. Very cool to get to see a captain hat trick in Toronto in the playoffs. That was fantastic.
Unbelievable.
Really cool moment. And then we get to game 3. Now, this is the first road game of the series. The Leafs won all 3 of the road games in this series. And the Leafs won all 3 of the road games in overtime. They are the first team in the history of the NHL to win all 3 road games and win all 3 in overtime.
Well, you know what's funny is even so when we lose in the playoffs, we make history usually. And when we win in the playoffs, we also make history. So it's because it's funny to watch it go down that way. Cause you're like 3 overtimes. I mean, I said it last year when we lost in overtime in game 6, a puck bouncing a different way and we win it.
Yep.
That's one game. Three overtimes. I'm sorry, you can't. That's you're just.
I mean, we could very easily be about to play game seven in like 2 hours.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that, really. I mean, as much as like we're happy that we won the series and stuff, I mean, Tampa fans probably felt like this last year, but like there's just no way that you can look at this and be like, oh, well, I mean, that was totally fair that we won and they didn't win. Yeah. This was a super close series. Every game was super close. I mean, three overtimes is completely insane.
Well, and I found that, I mean, if we have some time, we'll get to it. But I find there's been way more overtime games this first round than years past. Am I wrong?
It does seem like it. It seems like it.
Yeah.
This one, the Leafs, actually, game three, I totally forgot what happened in game three. It's just been such a wild series. But game three was the one where the Leafs kind of played like crap for pretty much the entire game.
Played like crap and...
O'Reilly scored right at the
O'Reilly
end.
O'Reilly tied it right at the end, and that's why you bring him in. That's why you bring someone like that in.
And Morgan Rielly with the broken nose and the stuff up his nose so he wouldn't bleed all over the ice scores the overtime winner after hitting Braden Point, after getting jumped by Kucherov at Stamkos, after leading to that insane Austin Matthews versus Steven Stamkos fight. That's a thing that happened.
Which is so stupid.
Morgan Rielly is the guy who ends up floating one in for the point to win the game. I mean, we'll talk about like all the Leafs players and how they did, but Morgan Rielly, just what a series from him. And the Leafs come out and win this game.
Unbelievable. One of his best, I mean, I feel like every time we go to the playoffs and there's a round one, there's always a guy that you're like, that guy had a great series. Mm-hmm. Like, I think last year was Nylander.
Yeah.
And I think the year before that was also Nylander. And the year before that was also Nylander.
Tends to be Nylander.
But I think he, like, Rielly had a huge series.
Rielly has always actually been pretty good in the playoffs, too, which is weird. Yeah. A lot of people have been talking about this, which is something we've talked about on this podcast before. He is one of the few Leafs who does play better in the playoffs. And his stats actually back that up.
I believe it.
His stats really show like a massive jump in the playoffs every year. I mean, you remember last year in game seven, he scored in that game. He was fantastic in that game.
Yeah.
And they lost, but I mean, Morgan Rielly was unbelievable. And it was nice to see him get that. Now game four, I came up and we watched together, and that was the best game to watch.
Well, I mean, we watched it together. So we kind of can what was it? 4-1.
Yes, it was 4-1.
And
as they say.
That's right. I wanted to say 3-1, but the whole thing was it was 4-1. We were bummed out.
Yes.
And I guess you never – there was a lot of time left when it was 4-1. But
yeah,
by the time
– there was a whole period.
But by the time they made it 4-2, there was not much time left.
Yeah. It took them 10 minutes to get the first goal. And then they scored the next two within like 5 minutes.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't think we – I mean, we talked about giving up maybe, but I think we kind of were like, let's see where it goes. 4-2, okay. 4-3, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's one goal. We've done it before. Let's see what happens.
And then they got it immediately.
And then they got it right away.
Now, this one was weird because, like, when you actually watch the goals, I don't remember thinking that the Leafs were kind of getting unlucky. But, like, the goals that Tampa was scoring, I mean, Stamkos off his foot and then the Killorn one, which was great. But, I mean, he could never do that.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was like this. Yeah, the Stamkos one definitely. And, I mean, it was shocking because, I don't know, we just... We just won an overtime. You're expecting a little more.
Yeah.
You're expecting more than 4-1. We blew them out. Like, in the last two games, we blew them out and we won an overtime. You're expecting a little more than a blowout the other way. But...
And then Austin Matthews stepped up. 2 goals. Morgan Rielly again.
That tip.
Yeah, that tip is insane. Morgan Rielly again ties the game. And then Alex Kerfoot, of all people, with the overtime tip.
Overtime tip.
Guy who hasn't been able to score all season.
From Gio, from the fucking 39-year-old defenseman just throwing it on net.
It's also just a great tip, too. Like, it's the kind of thing where, like, if I saw Austin Matthews do that, I'd be like, oh, wow. Like,
unbelievable. He turned it the opposite direction. He turned it, like, it was going right, and he turned it to Vasilevsky's left. So, and I don't know. It's funny how, like, people talked about, oh, Vasilevsky's bad with point shots. He's bad also, like, when they get tipped like that, but who isn't? Right? Like, who can save that? It's coming at you directly. Yeah. So you go that way. And then at the last second, it's moving literally 50 degrees to, like, it's the opposite direction. It's not, that's not his fault.
It's like that game four, I think Riley scored on a point shot, right? So they were like, oh, there it is. Point shot again. Look at this. And I was like, okay, but the other goals in that game were a tip from Achari, a tip from Matthews, a tip from Kerfoot, and then the one where Austin Matthews was just wide open right in front of the net. Like, those are goals that are going to go in.
Yeah, like, you can't, like, that has, the Vasilevsky is the best goalie in the world. Yes. I get it. There's a lot of great goalies this year, but, like, he still is a lunatic in net.
Yeah.
I mean, he stole game six or five.
He did steal game five.
And when like, we'll get there, but when you're watching game five, that you're going, yeah, he's the best.
Yep. When he plays like that, you're like, okay, well, we're not going to score. We're not going to get a goal today.
But and a point shot where it's deflected at the last second going the opposite direction, you can't, that's not.
Yeah.
That's not a stat. That's not fair.
Yeah, honestly.
You can't be like, oh, man, he's bad at that. It's like,
you can't save tips directly into the top corner of the net. You're like, no shit.
Come on.
Yeah. I know. I feel like people were way too harsh on Vasilevsky
throughout
this entire series.
A little bit. Because what did he say? One of his quotes was, I wish I had x-ray glasses. And it's like, yeah, because then he could see the tip.
Yeah, exactly.
He could see it change direction.
He's getting screened all game. Yeah, I don't know. He had a tough one. Speaking of tough goalie games, game five, Vasilevsky was unbelievable. And Ilya Samsonov was very much not. Which, again, given the way that he played in the four games that we won, I'm totally willing to forgive the two games that he sucked in.
I'm okay with it.
He did suck in game five. He didn't suck as bad as Justin Hall sucked in game five. But he did suck in game five.
Yeah.
Justin Hall, I mean, that was probably the worst game of hockey I've ever seen him play. And he is a guy who is usually good, but is prone to having, like, those days where he's horrible.
Yeah.
And that might have been the worst ever. He was on for every single Tampa goal. Pretty much every single Tampa goal was, I mean, at least mostly his fault. It was a bad day.
Yeah.
And it was a moment where I think we all felt, oh, okay, here we go.
A little bit, yes. Because you're scarred.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, let's talk about game six, the Magic, because the Leafs didn't blow a 3-1 lead, unlike some teams who we'll get to later. The Leafs won the series in game six in overtime. This game, I thought Samsonov kind of won it.
Yes.
I know that, I, like, our two top centers scored and whatever, but, like, I think this was mostly Samsonov.
I 100% agree.
I thought Tampa outplayed the Leafs far more than they did in game five, which they actually won. I thought game five was relatively even, and Vasilevsky was amazing, and Samsonov sucked. I thought game six was not even close to even, and Samsonov made some absolutely incredible saves. Even the goal that, like, they scored, where it was Steven Stamkos shooting a rebound into a wide open net, he almost got it.
Nope, you're right, and I mean, there were a couple sequences where, like, they just had a straight up point shot, like, in the slot.
Yeah.
And he was always right.
Someone
there
would just walk right in. Yeah, that happened a few times,
and he was square and calm, and he would absorb. He wouldn't kick out a huge rebound, which,
yeah,
he's, you know, even, like, in his worst games, he was doing a lot.
He gets, like, he has games where he looks like he's, like, almost moving around too much. He's, like, kind of all over the fucking net.
Yep.
And then, like, you see him in game six, and he just looks, like, really calm and steady and, like, in position. And you're like, oh, like, when you play like this, like, you're one of the best. Like, I get why they took you in the first round.
Well, that's, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he looks like a first-round franchise goalie when he's, like, on. And when he's not, you know, not so much. But, like, in those games, you're like, oh, like, I get it. Because, like...
It is there. It is there.
Yeah. If you could just get him to play like that, like, almost all the time. Not all the time, because that's impossible. But, like, most of... If he could play like that almost all the time, he'd be one of the best goalies in the league.
Yep.
He was amazing. Austin Matthews, what a fucking goal. That goal, I mean, there's, like... Well, I mean, Ovi could do it. Pasternak could probably do it. Can anyone else do it?
No.
Like, that's a shot that, like, I don't think...
No.
The way he, like, spun and then just, like, hit it off, like, not even looking at the net, ripped it over the shoulder.
Brody keeping it in the zone.
Great play, too, yeah.
Just unbelievable. It's just, I mean, Matthews, he had a great series.
He was amazing. He was our best player.
Yeah, you're right. I was going to say Samsonov is up there, but you're right.
He is up there for sure. It's Matthews, Riley, and Samsonov. If we're going to do like a top three.
Yeah, I mean, Tavares is up there too, but you're right.
I'm not saying like in order. I'm just saying like if we're picking a top three, those are the top three.
That's fair.
But Matthews was unbelievable. And that goal was fantastic. I mean... Yeah, he was unbelievable.
He's having himself a series. I mean, you saw the footage of his parents.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're awesome. like you know they're, oh man. Like, it's funny to watch cuz I think who was it? Riley's parents were there.
Yes, at game 5.
You get a lot of parent shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is weird, but I just picture like my parents and my dad would be 3 beers deep in the first period.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And my mom, I think, would be that nervous Nelly, but my dad would be like, what are you so weird? Like, calm down.
Like, my dad Austin Matthews, 5 goals in the last 4 games. Every one of them massive.
Always,
I mean, he was unbelievable. I almost thought we were going to win game 5 because when he scored at the end of game 5, he just looked like, you know how he looked in game 4 where he was like, okay, I'm going to win this. I was like, oh shit, he's going to do it again. he was unbelievable.
Fantastic.
And then, so let's talk about the big moment. John Tavares in overtime.
Well, okay, so when it was 1-1,
yes,
and it's the third period, and I think there were like 10 minutes left, I was like, I don't think I can handle overtime.
See, I remember saying, after Steven Stamkos scored, I turned to our friend and I said, this game's going to finish 2-1. And he was it's going to overtime? And I was like, I'm not sure, but I know that there's only going to be one more goal.
Yeah, it was very – well, I think the commentator said it like halfway through the second before Matthew scored. They're like, next goal wins.
Yeah.
They were wrong.
Yeah.
Eventually they were right.
Yes, we had American broadcast, so I didn't hear.
Oh,
but yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I said to him with like, yeah, after the Stamkos goal, I was like, this game's gonna finish 2-1. There's gonna be one more goal. I don't know who's gonna score it. I don't know if it's gonna be an overtime. I just know that there's only gonna be one more goal.
Yeah, and I mean, when overtime started, my friend who doesn't watch hockey showed up, and I told him to sit down and shut up because I couldn't
freaking out a little bit too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, look, we had an overtime game 7 with, and we'll get there, with Florida and Boston. And it really is that feeling of like any overtime in a clinching game, a funny bounce, a weird puck off the skate, which inevitably, I mean, look, I think they would have scored that if it didn't go off of Stamkos' skate.
Probably.
Like, I think somebody would have gotten to it and tucked it in.
It looked, yeah, I was going to say. Because I think it was Riley who was in front.
It was,
weirdly.
Yeah, it was Riley.
And he was the closest guy to the puck on the ice.
Yeah.
So I think that had it not rolled into the net, I think Morgan Riley would have been the guy who picked up the puck first. But, like, I don't know. Maybe Vasilevsky would have figured it out. Who knows?
Who knows? But Vasilevsky definitely didn't see it come to, like, come towards. Because he had no idea. He had no clue. He just went down. He went down and he kept looking forward. And then when the puck is, like, skirting through. Yeah. Like, on the
He never turned around. He never even knew it was behind him.
No.
Yeah.
On the broadcast, you get such a great view of, like, the puck trickling in.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Like, and I was just, it wasn't like, oh, it's where is it? I watched it go in.
I started freaking out before the puck went in. Cause like, you just knew, you were like, oh my God, that's going to go in.
What a moment.
That was special. The celebration, John Tavares looked like he didn't know what to do. He was so excited.
He was like Ricky Bobby. Like he put his hands up. Like, what do I do with my hands?
Everybody just tackling him. Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out to Timothy Liljegren, who wasn't on the ice for the overtime goal, and yet somehow was like the second person to tackle John Tavares.
Oh, was he?
Okay, how did he do that? How fast did he get off the bench?
He probably knew. Yeah. It'd be fun if they're like, that was too many skaters on the ice.
It was crazy.
My favorite is Keefe's. Keefe's amazing. Jumped. Like, he is a big man.
He is. He flew.
He looked like Jordan out there.
Oh, fucking. He flew. Yeah, he could have dunked. In that moment, he could have dunked.
He could have dunked. And Dubas.
Dubas was the best. I love Dubas.
Losing his shit.
It was amazing. Dubas on all of these goals.
And my third favorite reaction is me screaming out of the balcony.
I also lost my I completely lost my mind. I like blacked out. It was crazy.
Oh, you just start yelling and the dog freaked out. And then you go downtown and you're walking and there's cars honking and there's people high fiving.
So cool. So cool.
And it was only round one. And you know what? We're gonna go all the way to the Stanley Cup, and I swear to God,
the city's gonna burn.
Well, my girlfriend was like, we can't leave the house if they win the cup.
Yeah.
Because if this is round one, she's like, we're going to have to, like, hide.
I was laughing. I can't remember who I saw tweeted, but someone tweeted, like, the one thing that this has shown is that Toronto is completely unprepared for what's going to happen if the Leafs win the cup. because they can barely contain the people from round one.
There was an arrest because somebody slapped a police horse. It's round one.
It's going to get so crazy. I can't wait.
It would be because everybody's like, oh, when the Raptors won, it was way crazier. Yeah, they won.
They won. Exactly. 100%. They won.
This is one round.
Yeah. The Raptors won the championship.
Dude, I think they're going to have to get like riot police in Oakville. Like
they're going to have to get them everywhere. It's going to be crazy.
People are going to lose their mind.
No, I can't wait. I really hope that happens. And, yeah, that was an Ultron moment. John Tavares ended the playoff losing streak of the New York Islanders back in the day. And now he's ended ours in overtime again.
This guy's a boss, man.
His second Game 6 overtime series winner of his career. Unbelievable.
It was a big debate going into the game where, like, if they lose the series, maybe we blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
And nope. Tavares deserves to be here forever.
He does. Him and his new third child, I'm sure she'll get to grow up right here because they're not leaving. Leafs
fan. No, they better not. I won't let them.
He's not leaving. He's not fucking leaving.
He ain't leaving.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I get chills thinking about it.
I've had some really great nights in my life because I'm almost 30. But yep.
That was a good one. Sheldon Keefe mouthing go forehand.
Yeah, I didn't. That was see so that. Cool. I heard about that, but I saw somebody tweet it. And
it's a good clip.
He mouths it, eh?
So he's watching Tavares because they're filming him. It's whatever camera's on Keefe, and it's right before the goal, and they film him, and it's when Tavares is coming around the net. He goes, "Go forehand, go forehand, go forehand." And then he goes forehand, scores, Keefe jumps off the bench.
So maybe that – he's probably also in his head like, I did that.
Yeah.
So that's why I jumped three 3 feet in the air.
It was awesome, though. I don't know. What a beautiful moment.
I mean, this is, it's going to be one of those ones where you tell the grandkids.
Yeah, it is. All right. So let's take a break. And, when we come back, we'll talk about maybe some Leaf performances, maybe some lineup stuff. We got to talk about round two and,
which is a thing we
participated in. And we'll talk about who we're playing and how that happened.
All right. I can't wait.
And we're back and we're starving.
Oh, man.
Islanders fans, always a gold mine.
Oh, man. Like, they are, I don't know what it is. I guess it's Long Island, right?
Like, yeah, that's, I think, like, it's just that's what they grow over there.
That's the person that exists there. Because, like, even when Tavares got yelled at in the box, remember, where they're like, yes, you're a butt. And you're like, what is, like, who, what happened?
How did we end up with this?
Like, who made you this way?
Yeah, that there's something else. The Islanders, who we both picked as an upset pick this year, actually injured the entire Carolina Hurricanes team and then still lost. That was great.
Well, it's funny because, like, everybody had an upset, and I think the Islanders was the one. Yeah. But it turns out it was the Kraken and Florida.
Yes, which that's the one we got to talk about now, because the Leafs in round two are going to play the Florida Panthers. And every single time I think to myself, oh my God, there's a Leaf game tomorrow. Our season's not over. And then I think, oh my God, round two against the Bruins, like we've been waiting for all year. And then I'm like, wait, no, it's not.
Yeah, you told me that, but, like, I don't have that thought because I watch the game. So I know who we're, like, it's not a thought anymore. I guess I also
watched the game. It did not matter.
I guess at first I thought about it. Like before the game, I was like, oh, we're playing Boston. Like, no way they're losing tonight.
Just can't believe the Bruins are dead.
Oh, they're dead.
I thought they were going to win that game literally the entire time.
So they played Swayman.
Yes.
Which was the first time he'd played all series.
Super weird.
Except for when Allmark got kicked out for trying to fight Tkachuk.
That was awesome.
That was so awesome.
Awesome. This series actually was kind of awesome. I didn't watch that much of it, but
Gudas wrecking Marchand and, like, the Tkachuk trying to fight Allmark and Boston being up 3-1.
Blowing a 3-1 series lead. It was something else. And Florida tying it with 1 minute left in their season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Swayman thing, though. Let's talk about the Swayman thing. Because they said Matt Murray is now practicing with the Leafs. And Sheldon Keefe said he is now the Leafs' third goalie.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
That was his official announcement. He is not coming back in. He's not even coming back in as a backup. And they said that for now, Samsonov is the starter, Wall is the backup, see how things go before they make any other decisions with Matt Murray. Well, which is the opposite of what Boston did.
Well, we've seen a little bit of this with other playoff teams. So Minnesota did it.
One was stupid. That was just dumb.
Even Florida did it with Bobrovsky and Lyon. Like,
yes, that was less dumb.
No. But I'm saying, like, a lot of teams, except for that I remember, is, like, Vasilevsky and a Samsonov. Like, a lot of teams have gone back and forth. Even Edmonton, they put in Campbell for a while and they played great. Yeah.
It worked. He played good.
Korpisalo was taken out for Copley.
I think those were, like, regular pulls, though. Well, I mean, Samsonov got taken out, too.
Right? I was just going to say, Samsonov got taken out, but, like, it wasn't, like, a debate after.
No, it was just obvious that he was going to be the go. Yeah, which is, I guess, different with some of these other ones. The reason the Minnesota one was so stupid is that Gustafson's been one of the best goalies the whole year, and he was the only reason that they won game one.
And then they lost.
And then they lost, and it made – and, like, Fleury was kind of bad. It was really dumb. Oh,
dude, it was, yeah, it was terrible.
Because, like, at least some of these other ones, like, the Skinner one, he was playing pretty bad, so they pulled him, they put Campbell in, then they put Skinner back in. That made sense, right? Yeah. The Corpusalo thing, that made sense. Pretty much all of this made sense. Even the Boston one, and, like, we're going to talk about it, and I do think it's a little bit crazy, but even Boston had played Jeremy Swayman a lot during the regular season.
Yeah.
So, like, it kind of makes some sense that they would lose two games and be like, well, let's play him because he's been good all year. The only problem is that, like, it was game seven and you hadn't played him yet. And, like, yeah, if they had played him in, like, game three and then played him in game seven, I would have been like, okay, well, I guess you're just doing this. But, like, it seems crazy to play him in just game seven. Although, like, again, I don't think he lost them the game, so who cares?
No, that's a good point. Is it was overtime, and I thought he was pretty sharp down the stretch when they were trying to tie it up. Eventually,
I thought so too. And the goal that Florida scored, I don't think was like a save he should have made.
Like the first one, or like the one?
No, no, like the tying goal, the Montour goal,
and even the one.
The first goal was a little bad.
Yes, but even the one to win, it was Kachuk is
screening the shit out. Yeah, I'm totally
screening the shit out.
It's a hell of a shot.
It was a perfect shot. Carter Verhaeghe, you are a real jerk for leaving the Leafs. No, but like it was a perfect shot. And I mean, I said it when it was coming down to Florida and Boston, and you're like, oh, it's game seven. I said I'd rather play Florida.
Yeah.
But the fact that Florida took Boston to game seven is huge.
It is. Yeah. I would rather play Florida than Boston.
Thank you. I said the same thing. I'd still rather play Florida.
Makes no difference. Like, Boston was playing worse than they should, and Florida was playing better than they should. And I think to want to play Boston more than Florida, you have to assume that both of those things are just going to keep happening forever. And I don't think that's true. I think if we played Boston, Boston would have played better than they played against Florida.
Yep.
And I think if we played Florida, it's possible, but there's no guarantee that they're going to play as well as they just played against Boston, because they're not actually that good. It could happen, but like, it might not. And so you take the chance that it might not hold.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, Boston, it's funny because before the game, I was like, oh, Boston has such a steady goalie and such a steady system. And then when they switch goalies, I was like, I mean, they're even doubting themselves. Like, they're, yeah, like
they the panicked. Doubt,
they panicked. And the fact that they switched it up makes you realize that they freaked out a little bit, which some people might say about the Leafs because they went completely different with the lineup a little bit. Like, they put Bunting back in. They put seven defensemen out there instead of six.
But I thought the Leafs were more reacting to what was happening, whereas Boston was kind of just like, we got to do something.
Yes.
Like, the Leafs had just played a game where Justin Hall was like
terrible,
horrible. And terrible. Also they had Michael Bunting, who, let's be honest, should just have been in the lineup because he's one of our 12 best forwards, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it was somewhat crazy that they didn't play him in game five. And so obviously he was going to come in game six.
Yeah,
and 11-7 is like a thing they'd done a lot. Like, I don't know. It just kind of made sense.
No, I get it. But I mean, like, it's interesting when they don't play him for game four or five. Game five. And a lot of people, and I was one of them. I was like, it just makes sense. Like, he was a liability in game one.
Oh, I wanted him to come in.
We've been on a roll. I thought it made perfect sense. And then when we lost, what's the harm?
I thought he should come in. Because I was like, okay, I mean, like, Zach Aston-Reese just isn't as good as Michael Bunting. Like, no matter how you want to do this, and like, it's cool that we won and whatever, but like, we didn't win because of the fourth line. The fourth line had actually been really bad. So just throw him in there. Take Lafferty out. Take Aston-Reese out. I wasn't expecting them to do both. And I don't think the Leafs were expecting to do both. And then Justin Hall dropped that game five performance. And then he was like, well, now let's get 70 in here.
Well, and let me ask you this. Do you think he plays game one? Do you think he plays tomorrow, Hall?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they really believe in him, and we'll see. But I think he'll probably be back out there. They'll give him another shot. Right. I don't know, though. It might be Liljegren, and that's because we have some lines, some practice lines.
It's funny. We're talking about Boston and Florida. But, yes, give me, please, the practice. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. We have Leafs practice lines.
Well, they play tomorrow. So, like, this is, like,
these are probably legitimate. Nyes, Matthews, Nylander. Yarncroc, Tavares, Marner, Bunting, O'Reilly, Achari, Aston, Reese, Camp, Kerfoot. So Lafferty stays out. And then
Aston Reese is back in.
Yes. And then Riley Shen, McCabe, Brody, Giordano, Liljegren, Gustafsson, Hall. And so I don't know how many or which of those. Yeah, I have no idea. I'm assuming Gustafsson's out. And then I'm assuming it's either Hall. Liljegren and Hall, and they sit Aston Reese, or it's Liljegren or Hall, and they play Aston Reese.
Right.
I have no idea, though. Well, and then Samsonov, Wall, and Murray. Sorry, we already talked about that, but...
Duh.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. Did you see when they were booing Bunting and Riley?
Yeah, that was weird.
And then they were also booing Erik Gustafsson, because I don't think they realized he was not Bunting. Because 58,
yes, I 100% thought that too.
Because 58 and 56 are very close.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, "Why are they booing Erik Gustafsson? This is so weird."
56 and 58 are very close to stupid people.
It made me really laugh. Did you see the thing where they asked all the Tampa fans outside if what they thought about Leaf fans saying they were bandwagoners?
No, I didn't.
It was very funny because some of them were like, yes, we are. And then some of them were like all offended. And there was one guy who said something like, oh, like they just don't know hockey up there like we know hockey. And I was like, you guys were booing Erik Gustafsson.
You guys were booing the wrong person. Erik Gustafsson, it was his first game of the
series. His first game of the series. He's like the most harmless guy. He plays a different position.
And he hasn't played yet, so
he hasn't played a single game.
I don't know what beef you have with him.
Honestly, hilarious. I love that too. Yeah, that's great. I'd totally forgotten about that. I'm glad you brought it up because it was one of my favorite things that happened.
It was so interesting.
I was so confused. I was like, why are they booing him?
I knew right away. I was like, 56 and 58 do look very similar.
They think he's Bunting. Oh God. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens with all that. In terms of this Bruins series, Bruins Panthers series. I mean, I was looking at their lineup and I was looking at what happens, and basically this Florida team is really good when Matthew Tkachuk is playing, and other than that they're not very good. And I just think, like, we can probably beat that team. And they kind of ran Boston's show during the Tkachuk minutes. And a big part of that was that Patrice Bergeron was playing with a herniated disc in his back. And David Krejci missed, like, 5 games or something.
Yeah, I'm a lot less worried about playing Florida. I just think there's – and here's – like, if you think back to the regular season, we beat them.
Yeah. Pretty often,
I do remember. Some of them were in overtime, but like, I mean, I just think we'll be, I don't know, I just feel more confident. And that, hey, maybe that has a lot to do with the win.
Yep. And we we beat them playing an injured Samsonov too, remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
And where we sat a bunch of guys, like we sat like Matthews and, yeah. I mean, just getting the win too. Like, I feel like this team, they're probably feeling themselves a little bit in a way that they literally never have.
Dude, I feel more confident with my life than I ever.
So I think when I'm looking at these lines for Florida, I think it's kind of interesting the way that they're trying to spread out their talent.
So it's Tkachuk, it's Barkov, and it's Verhaeghe, and I think it's like, it's funny as I like you go down the lineup, because I've actually watched a lot of this series with Boston. Yeah. Is that they have some guys, but like Zach Dalpy,
yeah,
is playing, and you're like, I remember him playing in Carolina and being like a scrub. So, yeah.
They, yeah, I mean, so what they're doing right now, or what they did for the game yesterday, is they moved to Chuck to the second line because they tried to spread it out a little bit more. So it was Verhaeghe, Barkov, Duclair, Cousins, Bennett to Chuck, Luostarinen, Lundell, Reinhardt. And then they had their bad fourth line, which is Colin White, Eric Staal, and Zach Dalby. But
you know what? Like a guy that I watched a decent amount of this past series and who I thought was very unimpressive was Anthony Duclair.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he was playing first line minutes. So
yeah, I don't think he has been the whole time, though. I think he's like just come into the lineup again and now he's back up. Like they've had some really weird lineup stuff, and it is Paul Maurice, so like it's just kind of all over the map. But
former Leafs guy,
yeah, which will be interesting. I don't know who's. I'm assuming Sergei Bobrovsky is going to play in net.
Yes,
because when you have the guy who's going on the Hamburglar line, once you take or Hamburglar run, like Alex Lyon was,
once you
take him out, I don't think you can put him back in. I think it's over now.
Yes, it's Bobrovsky or it's pretty much just like an average Joe.
Yeah,
like I think Alex Lyon, because I watched a decent amount of his games. He and I think I called it before the playoffs started. He was their starter. They were gonna run with him because you could feel the the mojo.
The mojo. Yeah.
I mean, once they were like, oh, he's kind of blowing it and put in Bobrovsky, you're right. There's no going back. And Bobrovsky makes $10 million mm-hmm. and he is your starter
mm-hmm.
and you kind of have to play him. And look, I thought he had a great game seven.
I thought he's been okay. I will say on the subject of mojo, like he still doesn't have his mojo. His mojo is still gone. His mojo never came back.
His mojo was stolen by Dr. Evil.
Yes, stolen by Dr. Evil in approximately like 2018. And yeah, he never got his mojo back. Mojo.
Such a great film.
So yeah, I don't know. It just seems like a series that the Leafs should win, which is also concerning because that's also something they haven't been able to do.
Well, but let's be honest, they were supposed to win this series a lot. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people had them in six.
Mm-hmm.
And if we, it's not an option, but if you could go back onto the NHL bracket challenge and you could just start picking the next round, I think you would pick the Leafs. I think a lot of people would pick the Leafs.
They are the
favorite. And yeah, Florida was the underdog in the Boston series, but they pulled it out. So I don't think we can take Florida too lightly.
No, I don't think so either. I think, I think it's going to be a tough series. I think it's going to be a series of probably close games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think it's good. Well, like, again, if you go back to the regular season, there were a lot of overtimes with those two teams. So, like, mm-hmm. I think we're going to get a couple, at least one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do a game? Like how many games? Who wins and how many games?
Leafs in six.
Leafs in six. I'm going to say Leafs in five.
Yeah. But like even saying five, like you mean five close games. Like, I mean like, you know what I mean?
I mean five. I mean like five wars, like five, yeah. Did you see the video of them? The refs talking to Gudas and being like, you can't sit on people.
Yeah.
Like shit like that. Like we're going to I think it's going to be, I think a lot of people were worried about playing Boston because they're dirty fucks.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Florida's just as dirty. They hung with them. They hung with Boston.
Sure. Tampa is also extremely dirty though.
Tampa's also dirty with Maroon, Perry and Belmar.
And the Leafs are now somewhat dirty, which I like, which is nice.
And you know what?
I hope Bunting doesn't elbow anybody in the face, but like, you know, aside from that.
Exactly what I was going to say. I go, look, I know Bunting got suspended in the first round, so he probably won't get suspended again, but he might do something fucked. Like, he might do something fucked up.
He might get suspended again.
I wonder if at that point they're like, you're just out. Like, you're just gone. Like, you can't. Like, if he does something similar.
Yeah.
Like, I could see the league being like, no, Like, yeah. You're not coming. Like, it's not five games. It's not three games. It's go home and don't come back till the end of the season.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Cause like they are allowing people to get paralyzed. So
what a bad
hit. It's an all time bad hit. It's a crazy bad hit. He played game seven. It's just like, I don't even.
It's such a bad hit.
Man. I don't even know what to say about that. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen from the NHL. To let him play a game after that.
Somebody die. That's how people die.
That is how people die. He broke his neck. He easily could have died. It's crazy. Yeah, obviously talking about Jordan Eberle. So let's talk about the other big upset, I guess. We gave our Leaf pick. Let's talk about Seattle. Unless you have any other Panthers thoughts, let's talk about
No.
Let's Colorado and Seattle. The Kraken. So am I crazy or are they not very good?
You know what's funny is, so in NHL 23, every player gets assigned an overall average.
Right.
And I find Seattle has not great first line overall average.
Mm-hmm.
But fourth line, compared to other teams, is amazing. They have a bunch of depth. They have a bunch of 5 million, 4 million, and 3 million guys who are in NHL 23 rated 85, between 85 and 83.
Everyone on their team is at least kind of good.
And like you saw with Bjorkstrand last night. I'm sorry, 2 goals.
Yeah, and he hit like 3 crossbars too.
So like it's a deep fucking team.
Yeah. On the other hand though.
Colorado is stripped to the bone.
They're completely like, yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is not even close to the Colorado who won the cup last year. They're missing a bunch of guys who they had to dump for salary cap reasons. And then on top of that, they lost their Josh Manson, Landeskog, Nichushkin.
What happened with him? He got arrested?
So like, I don't even want to like talk about it because said what happened. They said basically like the team doctor went into his room to check on him and found like some super drunk woman who said that like some bad man took her passport and then started hitting the doctor. And then they called the cops and then the cops took her to the hospital and then Nichushkin just left.
I could see him being in Russia.
And then they haven't said anything about anything. Like they haven't said if he got arrested. They haven't said if he's away from the team because he left or if they told him to leave. They haven't said anything.
I'll be honest. And I think if he was arrested, we would know.
I think the exact same.
That becomes public knowledge very quickly.
The reason we know what we know is because there was a police report.
Yes. Those things are very public. It's all out there. You can find it very easily. So if he was arrested, we would already, like somebody would have found out.
100%. Totally agree.
He's probably hiding in Russia.
Or in North America. Like we don't even know what country he's in. We don't know what happened. We don't know if he even did anything wrong or if he was just like partying, like on like a game night.
Who knows?
We literally like, it might, like, it's very possible they're just like, oh, he was, like, shit-faced at the bar on, like, you know, the night before a game or whatever. So we told him to, like, bounce. Like, he might be in rehab. We legitimately have no idea.
That's a good point. He might be in rehab. But, I mean,
it could be anything.
Now that they're out, I'm sure we'll find out pretty quickly.
I think it'll come out now that they're out. But I just, like, I don't even want to say anything about that because, like, it could literally be anything.
I agree. He could be dead.
He could be dead.
Could be dead.
So, like, honestly, we have no idea.
The cops could have come into his room, shot him to death, and we wouldn't know until the... And then if that's true... Then Colorado lost, and it was probably justified.
Like, I got to be honest, though. Like, when I watched the very small amount of this series that I watched, I thought Colorado looked terrible. Well,
it's 10:30, like 10.
Yeah, PM it's just starts. Not going to happen. I know.
But I'm in my PJs at that point.
Awful. So I don't know what to make of Seattle. They're going to play Dallas next, which they had a weird series too.
Dallas had a weird series. I think this is going to be an interesting series.
My guy, Rupe Hintz, is just like became Jaromir Jagr.
Odinger has been great.
Yeah. Pavelski injured.
So he's still out after that hit, right?
Yeah. They said he might be coming back, I think. But yep, still out. So I don't know. Weird. That Minnesota-Dallas series was like all hyped up and like I made fun of it for being boring, and then after game one they had all the hits and the fights and it went to overtime and everyone was like, see, it's not boring. And then like every other game the whole rest of the series was a blowout, was boring, and Dallas yeah. won. And I was like, yeah, you guys are actually terrible.
The last game was 6-4.
Yeah,
come on,
it sucked. It sucked.
If the Leafs had to beat Tampa 4-0, everyone would have been like, come on. Like, really? Like, you didn't want to win. Like, yeah. you're not trying.
Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? Vegas and I don't want to do New Jersey and New York because it's not over. So there's no point in talking about it.
Can I ask you quickly, who do you think tonight?
Game Who's going to win?
Who's winning?
Well, I picked Rangers in 7, so but I'm kind of feeling like the Devils a little bit.
I still think the Rangers are going to get it done, but who do you think starts in net for the Devils?
Schmidt.
I
don't know.
Schmid. I think so. Whatever. Them.
Yeah. I think he starts. I don't think they do the. I mean, I guess in this scenario, he is Jeremy Swayman. I was going to say I don't think they do the Swayman thing, but technically he is Swayman. No, Vanacek is Ullmark.
Schmid has won them their games, like the two.
Yeah, that's why games. I think he plays.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I was just curious what
you I think they get into. We'll see. Let's find out. I'm very excited. The only series that's not over.
I love game sevens when they're not ours.
I know, I do too.
Oh, buddy.
So exciting.
Like even basketball.
Yeah.
Like, you know me. I don't watch a lot of basketball. Game 7, Golden State and the Kings. I put that shit on because I was like,
Game seven. Let's see what Steph Curry does. And he's like, I'm going to score 50.
Most points in game 7 in NBA history. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. When we were watching it, because I remember Kevin Durant got 48 a few years ago and they were like, this is the most points anyone scored in a game 7. And then when Steph was up to like 45 or something, I was like, oh shit, he's going to do it. I did think it was funny that he like kind of almost intentionally only scored 50 though, because once he got to 48, there was like a couple possessions where he was like, give me the ball, I'm going to try and score. And he like very clearly like really tried to score himself. And then he did. And then I don't think he touched the ball the whole rest of the game.
Well, they're
so
also
he knew too, obviously.
Well, and I think Steve Kerr knew too, because he was it was like one of those mic'd up moments where he's like, hey, I'm going to take as many timeouts as you want. Like we've got 4 timeouts. Well, I'll take them. Just when you need your rest, because I think they were like, he's going for the record. And also, we need to win this game.
Yeah. Also, like, everyone on Golden State isn't playing great. So, like, we kind of need him to score 50.
But yeah, game sevens, I mean, it's a cliche, but it's the most exciting two words in sports 100%. In general.
No doubt. So let's go through these other two real quick. Vegas basically just got smoked in game one and then completely mopped the Jets for the entire rest of the series. There was one epic double overtime and that was cool. But other than that, they just easily won and it was a joke.
And even if you watch that double overtime, that was kind of cool. It was like the goal was such a, like the guy fucked up.
Yeah.
Which means like your team is making mistakes that they really should not be making in double overtime, but whatever.
And I watched the game 5 where they were like where Rick Bonus yelled at them and whatever, and like I don't know, they just got like completely walked over in an elimination game.
And like those the quotes from Bonus and even Wheeler, like
yeah,
like that place is in trouble, because after a first round exit, when you're kind of shocked to be in the playoffs, why are you like you either
again though too, right? Because it was Paul Maurice last year. Remember when Paul Maurice last year was just like, I'm done with these guys, I quit.
Something like
he quit. No one quits. Coaches get fired. They don't quit.
They don't quit. No,
he just
right.
quit in the middle of the season. And then we were all like, oh, he's probably going to take some time off or something. And then he was coaching Florida like 3 weeks later. It was like, no, I don't want to stop coaching. I just don't want to coach these guys.
Yeah, he said he needed a break for his mental health. And then he was like, 1 week was like, that's enough.
He's like, now. No, I need a break from you.
Oh, it's bad. It was a bad one. And like.
So yeah, now another coach.
Bonas seemed pissed.
He seemed really mad. And Wheeler was kind of mad. And I don't know. It's weird. I think they got to blow that team up.
A little bit. Like,
I think it's done.
Just take Shifley out of there. Like, well, and yeah. They stripped Wheeler of the captaincy. Like, they didn't have a and then he comes, and then he's like still I don't know if he's still clearly upset about that, but he's bitching about the coach.
Yeah,
who took the cat? Like, it's not like he got the captaincy taken away and was like, yeah, like I'll be better. He like got it taken away, and now he's being all shitty pants about it. Like,
yeah, it wasn't like Marlowe and Thornton and that kind of thing. No, he was like really mad. I don't know what that is. I guess they're going to trade some guys. Like, I think they got to blow it up because Hellebuck said, too, after the thing, he was like, I got no interest in a rebuild. So if they're going to do that, I want to go somewhere else. Shifley's contract's up.
Dubois wants out. It's a mess.
I think it's going to be a whole thing. So I think that team might be done. Edmonton, LA, which was amazing. I mean, we thought it was going to be amazing, but it was amazing.
Yeah.
Oilers won it in six, and barely.
Well, that stick, that broken stick by Stuart Skinner.
Yeah.
Did you see how it got broken?
No, I just saw the video of him playing with it.
Oh, okay. So there's a video before that where Kempe comes in, and Stuart Skinner has the puck covered, and Kempe whacks at his stick and breaks it, and Stuart Skinner doesn't realize it. He doesn't realize it. Kempe comes in. He thinks the puck is still free. Skinner puts it under his blocker. He takes a whack at a stick. The bottom blade of the stick breaks, but not completely. Like, it's dented.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a crazy video.
That is what a crazy series too.
I did not think LA. I mean, I picked Edmonton. But LA looked good. They looked very good.
They looked
good.
Amazing. Yeah. They like brought it to them. Like this series, they won in six. Like, it's almost shocking that there's not going to be a game seven the way that some of these games have ended.
It seems like
Edmonton will be like, well, we should have, you know, the Kings only won their two games in overtime, which is fair. They only won in overtime. And the one high stick one, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that. It was just weird.
I mean, we're so far past it, but I think it was a high stick, but it was such a debate.
I just that's the thing that kind of annoyed me, was that everyone was like, oh, but like, it's such a huge thing. It's like, I don't know, it made no difference, and you got scored on and no one thought it was a high stick. So like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and like, okay, if LA won the series, then you could go do it, but again, you pointed it out, you're also like, it's two overtimes.
Yeah.
So like, they didn't. It wasn't like they were that much in it.
Yeah.
But I did like the look. I did like the look. Korpisalo looked pretty decent most
nights.
They
look great. They went up. I think they're probably going to just have to live with that game where they went up 3-0 and then lost. That they should have won that.
That was game three. Yeah. Two.
I don't remember. They should have won that game, and not winning that game probably screwed them.
No, there's a few ones there that I think.
Because I think they would have gone up. That was game four. That was the one that Hyman won in overtime.
Which, did you see how high he jumped? He got up there.
But if they had lost that, LA would have gone up 3-1. And, I mean, Edmonton might have won anyway. But, I mean, if you're up 3-0, and like, you gotta do that. I don't know. Crazy, though. Absolutely crazy playoffs. Insane first round. Colorado's out. Boston's out. Somehow the Leafs aren't out.
Not somehow, dude. We're amazing. What are you talking about?
That might be the most... Watching the Leafs win and then Boston lose 2 days in a row is about the most fun I've had watching hockey in my entire life, I think.
Well, it's... Because it was interesting to like be in mid-March or early March and be like, oh, there's like 10 games left. Oh, there's like five games left. And you're like, please, can we get to the playoffs? And then, you know, you lose game one in a blowout and you're like, oh man, I forgot I hate the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you start winning and the excitement grows. But every night there's a game, you feel a fucking pit in your stomach and you're upset. And some nights you feel like vomiting when they're down 4-1.
Yeah.
But I mean, boy, is it all worth it.
It was amazing. It was so much fun. I'm excited that we get more.
I can't wait for tomorrow. I'm prepping for tomorrow. I'm calling in sick tomorrow. No, I'm kidding. but I'm so excited. I can't wait.
I'm so excited too. All right, let's wrap this thing up. God, I can't believe we get another round of the playoffs. Let's go, go Leafs! All right, you want to sing us out, buddy?
Go Leafs, go! Go Leafs, go!